We're so thankful again this morning to have the opportunity to be here at Bethel Church. It has been a blessing to be in the home of Brother Ronald and Sister Karen Lawrence and to be with my good friend, Elder Ronnie Loudermilk. I'm older than Brother Ronnie, and I told him a few minutes ago, I said, Brother, they've given us plenty of time to speak this morning, and I'm going to take just a little time this morning, leave you plenty of time to develop your subject. He said, Brother Ricky, you don't have to do that. And I said, you don't understand. That's the way it's going to be. So, Lord bless, I'll be here tomorrow, and you'll get to hear me again. But he does have to go home. I ask you to continue to pray for him and his ministry there in North Carolina. I call your attention this morning to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. What we see happening here is Syria is going to war against Israel, but Elisha the prophet, when they begin to try to make an attack, Elisha the prophet is telling the king of Israel exactly where there's going to be. I use a lot of analogies. I try to be very simple, and my dad, as I've said, was a minister, and my dad was very clear when he gave the charge to my brother and I, who were both ordained as elders at the same time. We actually joined the church the same day, baptized the same day, ordained as deacons the same day, and ordained as elders the same day. And we're not twins, by the way. Our names are twin-like, Mickey and Ricky, but we're not twins. And he is older than me. But Dad, in his charge, and even before then, made it very clear that we are to feed the lambs. Son, put the trough down so that everyone can understand what you're trying to get across. And I feel if I can speak in a manner that the young folks will understand, you older folks sure should understand. When I coach football, I was assistant football coach for 12 years. We played a team one time, and our head coach was an absolute student of the game. I was more one of those coaches, I really just line up, knock your head off, get back up, and do it again. I'd rather just rely on our athleticism and our toughness to beat you than me outsmarting you. But our coach was a great student of the game, and we played a team. And back then, still do it now, down in Mississippi, the coaches will swap videos so you can watch the team play. And you can look at their tendencies of what they're going to do. And it was amazing that night, because every time they would run an offensive play, our head coach was telling our defense exactly where the ball was going to go. He had watched that tape so much, and that team had such tendencies, that they lined up in this formation, they're going to run the ball right here. They lined up in this formation, they were running it right there. And we wind up beating that team and beating them pretty good. And I really think they were more athletic than we were. Our coach had done a great job of a game plan. But you see, what happens here is Elisha is telling the king of Israel where they're going to be without scouting. And he's doing it by the power of God. God is revealing to him where they are. And I like when you keep reading. I love scripture. I like how it's worded. I like how, if you'll just read it and look at it, how simple it is sometimes, but yet how complex. Or maybe how complex, but yet so simple. Because when the king of Syria realize this is happening, this is what he says in verse 11. It says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for the thing, And he called his servants and said to them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? You get what he said? We've got a spy from our own camp that's telling them where we're going. He thought he had a traitor. And he said, I want to know who it is. We've got to figure out who it is, because every time we try to attack, there's no one there. They've moved somewhere else. Verse 12 says, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He knows what you're even saying in private. I hope you don't know what I say in private. And I don't want to know what you say in private. That's none of my business. But Elisha, even knew what he was saying in his bedchamber. But he kept warning the king of Israel. And he said that he didn't save him once, nor twice. Well, with my Mississippi education, it tells me at least it was three times. And I have a feeling it's even more. But now look what happens. He says in verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is. Now, the king of Syria says, let's go find out where Elisha the prophet is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now, I find this amazing, especially what's about to unfold here. Because here you got Elisha the prophet who is warning the king of Israel every time that Syria is coming, and now they're going to come for him, and he's not going to do anything. You would think that he would say, hey, they're coming after me. I'm going to flee. I'm not going to be where they think I am. What about that? What do you think he's doing? Verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Now they got the city where Elisha is completely compassed about. He's in a bind. You think so? I'll go ahead and say he's not, okay? I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Because we can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And God is with Elisha. Here's what happens. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? His servant gets up the next morning, and he walks out, and he sees this great host of his enemies. And he walks back in and says, Elisha, how shall we do? What are we going to do? What would you do? If all of a sudden we are surrounded here in this building by our enemies, what are you going to do? That's what he's asking. Here's what Elisha says. Listen to this. Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Wait just a minute now. That's not really true, but yet it is true. Okay? You say, Brother Rick, you say a lot of things that don't make any sense. You say that Jesus could get down the cross, but he couldn't. Well, that's true. He could have. He had the power to, but he had made a covenant with his Father, and he would do that. And he stayed on that cross. Well, what is Elisha talking about? When he says there'd be more with us than with them, what's he saying? Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now that's kind of odd, is it not? I mean, he saw the Syrian army. He saw their horses and their chariots. He had natural vision. Remember, he came back in, the servant did, and he said, "How shall we do?" He saw that great host out there. He comes back and asks his Elisha, "What are we going to do?" He could see. He could see the natural things. So you think Elisha is praying that he can see the natural things? I tell you that he's not. He's praying that he can see the spiritual things, the things of God. Friends, if I have one prayer for the churches that I pastor, is that we see the spiritual things, my friends. That we take time and we're not so focused on the world and what's going on in our lives and all this rigmarole that we don't really need to pay attention to. You know, as I've gotten older, the priorities of my life have changed drastically. I love college football, but you know what? That's not that big of a deal to me anymore. You know what? The teams are going to win, it's going to win. The team's going to lose, it's going to lose, and I'll have no control over it. I sent a message to one of my preacher buddies from Texas this morning. He ragged me last week when my team lost to Memphis. Well, his team plays Clemson today. And I messaged him. I said, "Are y'all ready for that whooping y'all fixing to get today?" And I told him last week when he messaged me about Memphis beating my team that I didn't worry about football anymore. I worried about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, first thing he said is, "You sure do talk a lot of trash for somebody who wants to talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified." And I messaged back, "You started it." You started this. Friends, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. Let's not get too busy in this life that we miss out on the spiritual things of God. That they're there, my friends. They are there. We're just not looking there. We're not seeing them. We're like Peter in Matthew chapter 14 when he was in that ship. And I tell you, Peter takes a bad rap sometimes, but I tell you, Peter had some strong faith, my friends. You tell me how many of you, raise your hand if you would be the one who would step out and walk on water. I didn't see no hands fly up, so I assume you'd be like me. I stayed on that ship. But you know, Peter said, "Lord, if it's thou, bid me to come." And he said, "Come." And Peter stepped down. And I tell you, my friends, Peter would continue to walk on the water except for one thing. Peter took his eyes off the Lord. And he began to see the boisterous wind and the waves, and he began to sink. How many of us are worried about the boisterous things out here of this world, and we're missing seeing the things of God? You may not realize how many blessings you have right here, Thursday night, Friday night, and this morning. You probably don't realize all the blessings that are out there. I pray your eyes are seeing them, that you're looking for those spiritual blessings. When you have a pastor who loves the Lord and spends as much time as he does in studying God's Word, I'll go ahead and tell you, Elder Ron Lawrence has spent some time in the book. You understand that? I remember the first time I ever heard him preach. You know who he sounded like to me? You ever hear a car commercial on TV? At the very end, they give you that disclaimer. That's how fast he was talking. I told his, one of the, I think Brother Tim, I said, "Your dad has slowed down tremendously in his speaking. He still speaks quickly. You have to listen in a hurry, Brother Ron." But you think he just opened up his, you know, I used to teach science, and there's a thing called osmosis. You think he just laid that Bible on top of his head and all of it, that knowledge got in his head like that? No, friends, it's been much time of study. When you have a pastor who loves you and spends his time in the service of the Lord, you know how blessed you are? You know how truly blessed you are? When you have those around you who love you and care for you, are you aware of those spiritual blessings? A meeting like this just don't happen. You get that? There is so much work that takes place behind the scenes. And how many of you are doing that so somebody can pat you on the back and say, boy, we sure appreciate your efforts? Is that the reason you're doing it? No, it's not. You would do it if no one said a word to you. Friends, we need to be like Elisha. We need to pray that for each other, that our eyes will be open, that we can see the spiritual things of God, those spiritual blessings that are ours while we walk here on this shores of time. You understand that it doesn't get any better than where we are today. This is as close as you will get to heaven in this life. Now, I know there's many people who will disagree. There are those who will say, if they can go up to Knoxville and those volunteers can get things rolling, it don't get any better than that. There are those who will get on the beach, put their toes in the sand, and they'll say it doesn't get any better than that. Let me tell you, if you're a child of God, it doesn't get any better than this. Why would you want to forfeit blessings in this life? That's what I want to know. Why? We've had much conversation about churches who have closed their doors. Why would you want your church to close the doors? What's a church for? It's to be a light in your community, in your area, and for you. It's a place of refuge for me to get away from the world. I'm sick of the world. I'm tired of the world. I've had enough of it. We've had conversations about a professional football player. I get these updates. I think I said that last night. I was talking to somebody. I get these updates on my phone, these sports updates. And now the guy wants traded. He wants to be completely dropped from the team he's been with. He's caused so much trouble since he's been there. Friends, I'm tired of hearing that stuff. I don't care about that. The greatest thing in my life is being in the service of the Lord. And when you come into a congregation and you hear singing, that ought to charge your batteries just a little bit. We're not singing some of this music you can get on the radio, my friends. We're singing to worship and praise a thrice holy God. We're singing from our hearts, as Brother Ronald said. And let me tell you, in case you don't know, when you are singing to an audience of one. You get that? You're not trying to please me. You're not trying to please the person that sits by you. You ought to be singing praises to glorify and praise our Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about. See, those are spiritual blessings. That's the things we need to be looking for. And when we see those who have spent their life in the service of the Lord, that's spiritual blessings. And when we sit on the sound of sound teaching and preaching, that's a spiritual blessing, my friends. A man just don't preach because he studied. A man preaches when he's anointed of God to speak. Oh, I'm not discounting spending time in the Word. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But I keep telling the churches that I pastor, I want you to grow. I want you to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want you to grow in knowledge and wisdom. I want you to grow in your love for the Lord. And that is by looking around and seeing how you've been blessed. I want to share something very personal here, and it's not to get any feedback from you. It's just, I want to tell you this. Labor Day last year, I got laid off from my job. Now, I'm a retired teacher. I have a pension coming in, okay? But I have three daughters, and one just finished college, and one's a senior in high school, and my oldest daughter has some medical issues, and we have bills, in other words. My mother's getting older, and she needs a little more help. My older sister's taking the brunt of that in our family, of taking care of my mother since my dad passed away. And when I got laid off from my job, I began to try to look for another job. My wife told me, said, I'd rather you not get a job. I'd rather you be able to stay and help here. My wife and my oldest daughter have a daycare in our home. We got rug rats all over the place. Okay? My youngest daughter's a senior. She needs things that I have to help her with. My mother needs help. I said, how are we going to do it financially? I believe as the head of our household, it's my responsibility to provide. It rests on my shoulders. She said, the Lord will provide. I agreed. I sure agreed. And let me tell you, I can tell you time and time again of where the Lord has blessed me. I work part-time with a man who cuts grass. He's the best boss I've ever had. I love him. I first started working with him. I know people saw us and thought, wow, what are these two men doing? He hugged me and said, I thank the Lord for you. He could not find somebody who would work and would show up. And if you tell me where to be and what time I'm supposed to be there, I'm going to be there. Finding somebody dependable. I've been to church meetings. I went to one in particular, and they gave me much more than they've given me in the past. That's just not by coincidence, friends. That is the Lord taking care of his children.
Amen.
That's the Lord. See, that's a spiritual blessing. We can try to justify or write it off as just they were just able to give more. I believe the Lord purposed on their heart to give more. They didn't know my situation. I wrote a letter to the pastor of this church and told him, I said, I don't want nothing said, but I want you to know that I've been without work and things have been tight. You know what actually happened, though? I cut out of buying a bunch of junk I don't need. You understand that? But I want you to know that your church gave me twice as much as they've given me in the past. And he was so thankful that I shared that with him. I said, I don't want nothing said. I want you to understand that that's the Lord taking care of his children. Friends, he takes care of you every day. We need to see those spiritual blessings. When you have a place that you can come into to worship, as this place is, comfortable. Friends, I'll go ahead and tell you, if it wasn't comfortable, I wouldn't have this coat on. I'd be sweating bullets and the coat would be off. You understand that? It's fairly cool in here. And I'm hot and natured. You don't believe it? Ask Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronald told us we could bump the air down to upstairs. Don't go look, Brother Ronald. It's a little lower than that. I will bump it back up, brother. But I can't sleep when it's hot. I promise you I can't. Now, I can sleep, but if I'm comfortable, if it's hot, forget it. I like to be cool. But you see, that's a blessing to the Lord. And what he's wanting Elisha, what Elisha is wanting his servant to see is something that's great right here. Something that he's not seeing. And he's praying for that. He prays that this servant will be able to see what Elisha already sees. Let's read that. I'm going to be true to my word, Brother Ronnie. Here we go. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Who knows what that's talking about? That was the army of the Lord was there to fight the battle, to take care of Elisha. And those with him. You see, the servant was looking at the enemy. I hope you're getting that point. Don't take your time and waste your energy on thinking about the enemy. You think about your advocate, the one who's with you and who's fighting your battles for you every day. That's who you think about. You look for those spiritual things. You keep your eyes on the Lord. And when the ways get tough, the road gets rough, don't look down. Unless you're praying, you look up. You look up to the hill from whence cometh your help. You see, that's where the Lord, he's coming, my friends, and he's there to help. And he is never, ever absent from you. Song that we sing, third verse goes something like this. If our eyes are opened, as on we fly, we'll see all the horsemen and chariots of God. We're able to see those spiritual things. When the Lord opens our eyes and we take the focus off the worldly things and the things that don't mean anything, and we have our eyes on the Lord, we see the horses and chariots also. I like what Romans says. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you so much for your attention.